If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. I couldn't help but think about the little ones in the choir. Brother Ralph, you were talking about a day in your life when a Sunday school teacher helped you to understand that he loves you. And the song said, because he loved me, my Savior died. And I was looking up in the choir and just thanking God for a church where that little boys like Max, one day it'll be because he loved Max, my Savior died. Because he loved Miles, my Savior died. Because he loved Maggie, my Savior died. Because he loved Brian, I thank God that these kids, as much as they love Children's Church, they just want to hang around, and some of them know the words and can read, and some of them don't. But they just want to be with the big people singing about Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I want to say to Brother Steve, Brother Randy's not here. They filled in for me while I was gone. Thank you. I've heard nothing but good things. And they both did a great job. And we're so grateful for men that have given their lives to the Lord. We're not in it alone. Amen. Out there in the meeting, many preachers attended the meeting. The last night of the meeting, there were 7 preachers there. And it's a blessing to be able to encourage God's men along the way. Amen. 1 John chapter number 3. Let me read this in context. Let's go back to verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the word of God and for the songs of Zion that we've heard this morning. Lord, we do have so much to thank you for. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our Babel this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we're not left to ourselves, but we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you this morning, Lord, for the saints of God that have gathered in this place. Thank you, Lord, this morning for a roof over our head. Lord, a place to worship. Thank you, Lord, for a bite to eat this morning, Lord. Lord, I know that many people, Lord, would have loved to have the oatmeal that I enjoyed this morning, or the cup of coffee, or a bottle of water. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, we thank you most of all, God, that we know that we know that we know we have a home in heaven. And Lord, there's just something going on down inside of us that lets us know yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to meet together. God, it is in my heart to encourage. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me today to do just that. God, I pray you'd save the lost. I pray you'd strengthen the children of God. God, I pray you'd have your way in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, when we leave here today, may we, without fail, each and every one be able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to address a subject this morning that is really addressed out of the need. I'm not going to go into any detail, but after preaching last Sunday morning on is it the fruit or is it the root, I've had several people to come to me and talk to me. And I want to deal this morning with a subject that I believe needs to be dealt with. And then I want to try to do it in a manner that God can use and God can help us. The Bible said if our heart condemn us, and I believe that I have experienced this in my Christian life. And I think you'll understand why, or a little bit more about it later on. The Word of God said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I'd like to answer that question this morning. The one that knows our heart is the one that knows everything. And he is the God of heaven. We can hide absolutely nothing from him. He looks this morning past the outside of our being and looks down on the inside of our being. You know, when he chose David to be king over Israel, he said, "For the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance as a man looketh, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And I want to give you some things today that I hope will be a blessing. If our heart condemns us, first of all, John is talking to God's people. The first three words that I gave you this morning are my little children. Boy, I don't know about you, but there's a chill bump from glory just run up and down my spine. I'm one of his little children, Brother Gale. And if you go by the 200, none of your business pounds, I guess I'm one of his big children. Amen. But I'm glad to be one of God's little children this morning. Amen. Glad to be. It's addressed to God's people. And I want to try to give you the difference this morning. First of all, by way of introduction, just talking about the difference between our heart condemning us and God's word convicting or condemning us, or the law of God convicting or condemning us. This is addressed to God's people, my little children. But I believe before we can become God's little children, we must have an encounter with the law of God. The law of God pronounces us guilty before God. The law of God, the word of God said, is our schoolmaster. Some people, listen, they almost, in their preaching and in their teaching, they almost make the law of God to be something that's bad, to be something we should avoid. I believe that's a mistake we're making in this generation, amen? Because it is the Word of God, God's law, that pronounces us guilty before a holy God. And helps us to know without the law, we would not understand our need of a Savior. So if the law convicts us or the law condemns us, that's one thing. When that happens, it's because that we're lost without God and we're in need of a Savior. And thank God the law has power, amen, to convict. The law cannot deliver us from our sin, but thank God the law can deliver us to the deliverer of our sin. It'll bring us to Christ. Amen. Now, without Jesus, according to the Bible, we're condemned already. Without Jesus, I'm trying to lay a little bit of groundwork here. If you're lost this morning, that means you're without Jesus. And without Jesus, you're not awaiting condemnation. You're condemned already. Listen to what the Bible said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Aren't you glad? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. When Jesus came, light came into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The law is our schoolmaster. We're condemned already. It's the law of God that helps us to realize our state of condemnation. That we're separated from God, that we're headed for eternal judgment, that we're headed for hell, and that we have a need. And our greatest need is not a 401k. Our greatest need, amen, is the Savior. Our greatest need is deliverance from our sin. Now listen, the law's our schoolmaster. Watch this now. Without Jesus, we're condemned already. But what about when a person trusts Jesus? What about when a person becomes one of God's little children? Is it possible that one of God's little children can have his heart to condemn him? I just read it to you. And I'm going to give you some reasons why. Some reasons why. First of all, let me say this by way of introduction. The Bible said in Romans 8:1, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How many remembers when the condemnation was lifted off of you? Amen. I mean to tell you, we came and we were guilty before God. I came dirty, but I left clean. I came on my way to hell, but I left on my way to heaven. I came condemned, but I left justified in the sight of God. I came a child of the devil and I left a child of the King. I'll never forget that day in my life when he delivered me. Now there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice the little phrase here. And by the way, some of the modern Bibles leave this out. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We'll learn something today if we'll let God teach us about our heart condemning us. We're saved by faith. Amen. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me give you something this morning, just in the onset of the message. Stay with me just a minute. How many of you know what it is to feel saved? How many knows what I just said? Glory to God, it's good to be saved. But it's good to feel saved. Now you say our salvation positionally is not based on feelings. And that is very true. That is based on the fact that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And it's all about Jesus and what we've done with Jesus in receiving Him and what He's done for us in saving us by His grace. But is it possible to feel saved? Let me give you something this morning. How many knows that when you read your Bible, you feel better than when you don't read your Bible if you're a Christian? How many believes when you have a burden for somebody that's lost, or a burden in prayer, and you pray that you feel better as a Christian than when you don't have a burden, and when you're just going through life, amen, and it's all about me and myself and I. How many believes a Christian feels better when they're faithful to the house of God? Help me. Now, I don't believe, Brother Rose, that I should read my Bible to feel better, or pray to feel better, or be faithful to the house of God to feel better, or tell sinners about Jesus to feel better. I don't believe I should give of a tithe and give of an offering and give to missions to feel better, although all those things will make a Christian feel better, feel saved. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now listen to me carefully right here. You say, well, preacher, why do you believe you should do all that? Because I love him. That should be the motive. But I'm going to tell you, when the motive is, and you do what you do, listen, Miss Danita's going to meet with all the people to work in the Christmas play, and what a chore that's all going to be. I've seen the plays, and I know it's a job. And listen, I know that many people are going to be blessed. It's going to take a great deal of work. And when a person puts forth the effort and does their job and memorizes their lines and the people work together, everybody's going to feel wonderful about what's going on. But that cannot be the motive. The motive must be, let's do this for Jesus, because we love him. We love him, and we want others to know him. You say, well, preacher, the Bible said, listen, in verse 2 of Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, the law couldn't save me. All the law could do was point me to the one who could. The law couldn't do it. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. There's that line. But after the Spirit. Now let me tell you something. God loves you and I so much. Listen to me carefully. I'm still just trying to introduce the message. It is a truth that is so needed. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When you and I walk after the Spirit, we enjoy the blessing of feeling saved. Now, whether we feel saved or not, if we have trusted Jesus as our Savior, repented of our sin, been born again of the Spirit of God, our name recorded in heaven, amen, God has delivered us, whether we feel saved or not, listen to me, we're saved. But let me tell you this, it's good to feel saved. Obedience brings about that joy of knowing that I'm walking with my Father, in step with my Father. But let me give you this. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all, since you have been saved, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. I'll raise mine first. Have walked after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad, Brother Gale, that when we get to walking after the flesh, we don't feel so saved? Aren't you glad, Brother Rose, that when we get to walking after the flesh, That God in His Spirit convicts us, and we get to feeling like what the world's wrong with us. Amen. And you say, preacher, why is that important? Because we never come back to Him, Brother Johnny. We never get back to where we needed to be if we could be comfortable walking after the flesh. You can't say, well, preacher, I believe a man gets saved, he don't walk after the flesh no more. There's too many Bible examples contrary to that. And there's enough examples sitting in this room contrary to that. Amen. Let me give you something. I believe God is trying to help us. You say, preacher, what happens? I'm going to give you three things today. Good night, it's almost 12 o'clock. You don't care, do you? I don't either. Amen. Let's look at this together for just a few minutes. If our heart condemns us, what happens? I tell you what happens, Brother Steve. You get to walking after the flesh, your heart condemns you. Now listen, God is greater than your heart. Listen to me carefully. What's that mean?
That means your heart, Brother John, is condemning you. When you go the wrong direction, when you listen to the wrong thing, look at the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, listen, or fail to do the right thing. Sin in the Word of God is not just things we do that we shouldn't do, but it's things we do not do that we should do. Now that nails a bunch of us right there. Say amen. But listen, God will not let us enjoy. You know what that feeling saved really is? Listen, let me tell you what it is. Brother Earl, it's fellowship with a holy God. That's when you get up, Brother Ralph, and you get your Bible and you go out on the back porch. And there's a meeting takes place out there. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? There's a meeting takes place between you and the God of heaven. I'm telling you that we're living in a generation where many of God's children are walking day after day, night after night, day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, and their heart is condemning them even though they've been born again. Because they know they're not doing right. And then they get to the place sometimes they say, well, how in the world could a saved man live the way I'm living? Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. And there are people that honestly, from an honest heart, I believe try to get saved again or saved the first time. And the whole problem all along was they didn't walk after the Spirit. They walked after the flesh. And it was their heart that was condemning them. It was no longer, let me tell you this, the law of God will condemn you. It will convict you. And it will bring you to Christ. But when a person has received Christ, that law of God's not going to do that again. It'll be your heart condemning you after that. Amen. You know you shouldn't do that. You know you shouldn't look at that. You know you shouldn't listen to that. You know you shouldn't go there. You know you should have spoke up for Jesus and you didn't do it. Amen. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. So in those times in my life, listen to me carefully, when my heart was condemning me and I was walking after the flesh, God is greater than my heart. God still knew I was His youngin'. And God wasn't going to turn loose of me. My little children. My little children. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Let us not go to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and go out and live like, oh, how I love the devil. Amen. Or, oh, how I love the flesh. Or, oh, how I love the world. Without Jesus, we're condemned already. I tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I believe the Lord would be in this. I'm going to give you the three things. I'm just going to give them to you. Then we're going to come back tonight. I pray somebody's heart will condemn them for not coming back on Sunday night. You say, preacher, that's mean. No, that's not mean. That's not mean at all. I'm telling you, some of the greatest meetings I've ever been in been on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I tell you, some of the greatest meetings I've ever been in is when I didn't feel like going. I went ahead and put one foot in front of the other because it was the right thing to do. God blessed. But there's three things, and I'll develop them tonight. God showed me three things. Number one, our heart condemns us through ignorance. Now listen to me carefully. There's a whole lot of people in this world that's heard things like this. Well, I know I'm all right because my grandfather's a preacher. Well, I know I'm all right. I talked to a lady one time. She said, I know I'm all right. I'm a Christian. I said, how do you know that, ma'am? She said, because America's a Christian nation and I live in America. You say, preacher, how sad. Yes, it's sad. And you've got people that go around and tell little kids, now, you'll go to hell for lying. You be good. I tell you, you just lied when you told them they'd go to hell for lying. The Word of God said that all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now help me right here. How many of you lied? How many of you have lied? So there's a misunderstanding and ignorance of the cross and Calvary and how that takes care of our sin. Are you listening to me? And that relationship is settled when we trust Jesus as our Savior. And it's not just settled for time, but thank God Almighty, it's settled for eternity. Being born again. Not again and again and again and again, but being born again. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean that a person can't have a false assurance. That a person can't wake up one day and say, hey, it's not my good outweighing my bad. God breaks through the ignorance and God teaches them that, hey, it's not about a scale. And if my good outweighs my bad, then I'll go to heaven. And my bad outweighs my good, then I'll go to hell. That's a lie out of hell. The only way, my friend, listen, I'll teach you more tonight if you'll come back. The only way that we can get that scale, my friend, tipped in our favor is through His righteousness, through the doctrine of imputation, through the doctrine of sanctification, through the doctrine, my friend, listen, of redemption, through the doctrine of salvation that's taught in the Bible. He took our place on the cross. One of the reasons our heart condemns us is ignorance. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I pastored a church, I won't say where, I won't say when. But it got back to me. It never gets to you when it's something that really should have come to you. It always gets back to you. How many knows what I just said? It goes around the circle and comes in the back door. But this is what got back to me. He preaches too much on salvation. That's what got back to me. So one day I was, and you say, preacher, what'd that do? Well, number one, it hurt. Because I knew it was made, the comments made in a derogatory manner. He's always up there talking about the blood of Jesus and talking about Calvary and talking about needing to be born again. He preaches too much on salvation. I'm going to say this to you. If you're saved, you'll never get tired of that old story. Every time somebody reads John 3:16 to you, something will just go pitter-patter in your heart. Every time they sing, hey, listen, He loved me because He loved me, because He loved me, the likes of me. My Savior died. Let me give you this. I was reading a little, well, it wasn't really a little gospel tract. Yeah, let me have that, Brother Gale. If you know what a trifold looks like, it's about that size. When you take an 8.5 by 11 and fold it three ways, it's about that size. That's not far off. We had a gospel tract in our church. And it said, what must I do to be saved? And on the inside flap, when you opened it up, there were 18 things. And it said, check below the things that you believe are necessary in order to be saved. And there was all kinds of things. Membership in a church. Prayers daily. Scripture reading daily. Giving of your tithes and offerings. Membership in a lodge or a fraternity. That was on there. There was 18 things. How many sees the gist of the tract? And it says check below. So what I did now, I just cut the flap off the tract and copied it. And I got up before my church and I told my church I've been accused of preaching too much on salvation. And so what I did, I cut that off and I said, we're going to take a quiz. And I handed it out in my church. And I sat right there on the platform and I watched people get their pens and I watched them start checking things, Brother Steve. And the way the track was designed, you shouldn't have checked anything. You should have read number one, nope, number two, nope, number three, nope, number four, nope. And listen, 60% of the congregation failed that test. But the preacher was preaching too much on salvation. Listen to me. I told my people with a broken heart, one of two things is going on. Either I'm not preaching, Brother Gristle, or you're not listening. That's what I told him. How in the world, amen, could a pastor preach for 6 months and people not know how to be saved, amen? Not know that it's about Christ. It's about Christ. Our heart condemns us because we're ignorant of the Babel way of salvation. We're trying to mix it up. We're trying to mix faith in Christ with other things. Amen. And listen, you can't mix anything with the blood of Jesus. It either pays for all of our sin or we're all in trouble. Thank God it pays for all of our sin. The second thing that I'll go into tonight. I'm just scratching a little bit right now. But the second thing, not only ignorance will cause our heart to condemn us. I believe we can all get a hold of this real quickly. Disobedience will cause our heart to condemn us. Aren't you glad? Listen, before we get saved, we have something called a conscience. Thank God God put a conscience in us. But after we get saved, we have something much stronger than a conscience. We have the Holy Ghost living in us. Amen? And the Spirit of God, my friend, lets us know when we're disobedient to the will of God, to the Word of God, to the ways of God's Word. And so our heart will condemn us when we're ignorant of just the basic Bible doctrine of salvation. But our heart will also condemn us when we're walking in disobedience. And then number three, our heart will condemn us. I need to go into these tonight. I'll show them to you in the Word of God. But number three, our heart will condemn us. And I use this word to kind of rhyme a little bit with the first two words. When we get involved in what I call relevance. In other words, I look at Brother Gale and I say, well, if Brother Gale is a Christian, then surely I'm doing okay. Or you could look at it in a context like this. Somebody says, well, if he's a Christian, then the woods are full of them. There's a negative also. You understand what I mean? And so where did you get that in the Bible? The Bible said they, talking about the Corinthians, comparing themselves with themselves, were not wise. But my heart will begin to condemn me if I'm walking through life, listen, comparing myself with other people. I've said this often. The people that are walking closest to the Lord, they do not know it. They actually deem themselves the furthest away, because when they get close to Him, the closer they get to Him, they become smaller. And even the little things become bigger. Things that some people wouldn't think anything about. It's just a slip of the tongue. Or, oh, I just listened to that old joke and I shouldn't have listened. But somebody that's walking real close to the Lord and real sensitive to sin and real sensitive to what sin can do. And if we compare ourselves with ourselves, we're not going to get any peace that way. But if we'll walk with Him, our relevance doesn't need to be with one another. It needs to be how we relate with Him. How we fellowship with Him. There's so much in this message. So much. I will guarantee you that if I could go through the pews this morning and lay hearts out on the pew, just lay the heart out there and everybody could look at it the way God's looking at it, I will guarantee you there are people in this room that are walking with confidence in fellowship with the Lord. And I'll guarantee you this, there are also people in this room that are walking, the Bible said, with that condemnation, their hearts condemning them. You know, people that live together and won't get married. Help me. He said, preacher, could they even be a Christian? They could be. Let me say it like this. David was. But I'll tell you this, their heart's condemning them while it's going on. Help me. Could a Christian slip and say something? Could a Christian slip and look at something? Could a Christian slip and listen to something? Could a Christian not do something that they know God wants them to do? You better believe it. But their heart will condemn them. Their heart will say, this is not right. This is not right. This is not right. Now listen to me carefully. We need to ask ourselves the question when our heart condemns us. I can honestly say, listen to me carefully. This may not be the case with you. But I can honestly say in my life, my heart has condemned me. But never, Brother Joe, when God saved me, it was so real. Never have I been condemned to the place where I've said, well, I wonder, am I even saved? That's why I thank God for chastening. Listen. We should thank God that we cannot walk after the flesh and not be condemned by our heart. And we should thank God that if we continue to. Listen, Olivia, she's in the nursery, I guess, isn't she, honey? Olivia this morning kept pulling on her mom's dress, and she was out there on the parking lot, and Charity looked at her and said, I told you no. She had told her no many times. Stop. Don't do that. But when she looked at her with a stern voice and said, I told you no. You said, what happened? She's only 9 months old. But she's got a heart. And it condemned her. Amen. She knew she was doing wrong. After a while, that voice won't get the job done. She'll have to take something to her backside. Amen. I love Olivia. You think I'm going to stand in the Walmart and let her kick me in the shins because she wants something? Honey, I tell you, the Board of Education needs to be applied to the seat of learning. And God treats us as His children that way. We're not going to do whatever we want to do after we get saved and get by with it. There's one other thing, and I'll leave you with this, and that's a false assurance. That's somebody, Brother Johnny, that they had an experience years ago. They went to an altar. Maybe it was a revival meeting. Maybe it was in a cottage prayer meeting. Maybe it was in their bedroom. They had an experience. And they say, well, I got saved right there. But their life never changed. They can sin and their heart don't condemn them. Help me. They don't experience the chastening of the Lord. All that evidence is lining up against you when that's the case. And so there would be a false confidence or a false assurance. Because when a person is genuinely saved, their life will genuinely change. And when they do wrong, their heart will condemn them. Amen. But thank God, God is greater than our heart. God knows who's been saved. And God knows who needs to be saved. God knows who's got the goods. And God knows who's got a counterfeit. Everything God ever did that was wonderful and good, the devil counterfeited it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. The little statement, if our heart condemn us. If our heart condemn us. Lord, I pray this morning that you, somewhere or another, take the message. Speak to hearts. I pray, God, that when we walk in disobedience, that you would just continue, God, to be faithful. Lord, you said there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh,
but after the Spirit. God, it's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to feel saved. It's wonderful, Lord, to walk with you and talk with you. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd take the message and use it now. In Jesus' name.